You're wrong there, Mackenzie.
Tell me why you're holding back. Why you're shutting me out.
Why would you want to be let in? He didn't have anything to say to that. He shouldn't want to complicate things any further, and yet, at the same time, he wanted to be important to her, someone she trusted and confided in like she used to. He wanted to be to her what she was to him. Why would I let in someone whose part in my life amounts to using me to satisfy his sexual urges? That stung. It belittled what was between them, but it was the truth, wasn't it?
Fine.
He stalked toward the door.
I'll phone you next time I get one of those urges, shall I?
He added bitterly before slamming it. It was after at least 45 minutes of Anna sitting on Jackson's sofa, telling her all about her nicely developing relationship with Warren, that Anna realized something. Jackson was hurting. The girl always kept her pain hidden so well. Anna might not have picked up on it had it not been for the fact that when she asked what time Connor had left, Jackson had winced ever so slightly. And didn't that make Anna feel like absolute crap? Here she had been sitting, announcing how fantastic things were going and how Warren treated her like a princess, and the entire time Jackson was in pain over a certain F1 driver. Not once had Jackson looked envious or bitter or even attempted to change the subject. On the contrary, she had shot plenty of questions at Anna, wanting every detail she could wring from her and then being so amazingly chuffed for her. She was just the best, in Anna's opinion.
Okay, what's he done? Asked Anna gently.
Oh, let's not talk about me and Connor. I'm not spoiling your good mood.
Jackson, please.
Humongous sigh.
It's not so much something he's done. It's just that sometimes I just feel like he wants too much from me. First he wanted me to agree not to see anyone else. Then he's complaining that I don't let him in and share all my past with him. And you know what really gets to me? When he does want to see me, he doesn't phone. He just shows up and expects me to accommodate him. Even worse, I do. I can't help it. It's like I've got no willpower when it comes to him. I'm just his beck and call girl, and I hate it, but I can't seem to fight it.
Anna nodded.
I was in a situation like that once. It scared me when I realized I always put my life on hold just in case he phoned. I'd be ready to drop everything if he wanted us to meet up. I literally didn't feel like I had a choice in the matter. It was like I was obsessed. But he never used to give me any indication of when he'd phone next, and we never did anything together other than meet and shag. I was like a doormat. I felt so weak. I almost hated myself. And him for taking me for granted. So, you know what I did?
What?
Went abroad? When Jackson's eyebrows rose, Anna nodded. I didn't tell him I was going. I didn't have to, because we weren't serious, as far as he was concerned. So when he next phoned and realized that I was out of the country, and that, yes, I was going to have a life outside of him, that I wouldn't always be dropping everything when he phoned, it made him do a double take. Then suddenly he stopped taking me for granted and shaped up. She let Jackson consider that for a minute before adding, I think you should do the same. That way, the next time Connor phones, you'll likely be abroad. It'll shock the life out of him, that will, so you won't have to worry about trying to resist his offer because it just won't be possible to see him. With all that distance between you, it might make you feel stronger, and it'll teach him a couple of things.
Like what? Jackson was starting to like Anna's idea.
Well, he'll learn that he won't always know where you are, even with your work schedule. He'll also learn that if he really wants to see you, he's going to have to do better than just materializing out of thin air or you might not be available. And it will serve to remind him that you have a life that exists outside of him and he can't always invade when he pleases.
Oh, Jackson was really, really, really starting to like this idea. This was what she needed, some distance between her and Connor, a way of stopping herself from running into his arms when he next turned up out of the blue. It would also be a change of scenery. As it was, Jackson had never been abroad in her life.
And I'll be coming, Anna quickly added. A girly holiday, just the two of us having a laugh and mellowing out.
Oh, Anna, you don't have to do that. I know you're enjoying spending loads of time with Warren right now.
All the more reason to go. It'll teach him exactly what it will teach Connor.
Jackson couldn't stop a wide smile from creeping onto her face.
Where were you thinking?
Leaning forward in her seat, Anna returned Jackson's smile.
Ever been skiing?
Chapter 11. Is this who the EastEnders character Ian Beale is based on? Jackson wondered as the cockney bloke in front of her heading for the bunny hill again shot her what he seemed to think was a come-get-me smile. It actually came across as, I am so creepy, so stay far away for your own safety, grin. He was obviously one of those blokes who had a wealth of experience in the art of freaking women out. Oddball. She knew he didn't recognize her or Anna as celebrities. How could he when they were each snug in several layers? Long thermal top and bottoms, an additional long-sleeved t-shirt, a fleece sweater, ski jacket, ski pants, ski socks, neck warmer, helmet, goggles, a pair of waterproof winter gloves, and ski boots. It gave them an anonymity that they needed right now. The fact that Jackson was a female was apparently all that was needed to inspire him to flirt so sleazily and poorly. Only an hour after Anna suggested the skiing trip, they had booked their one-week holiday over the internet. In fact, they had booked a flight for the following morning, completely disregarding both their work schedules. Although Ollie hadn't been thrilled, when Jackson mentioned that it was just them, no Connor, he had all of a sudden become very accommodating and supportive, even to the extent that he offered to take Bronte in while they were gone. Due to Anna's love of alcohol and vibrant nightlife, they had settled on staying in Meribel, France, the center of the three valleys with Courchevel and Val Thorens on either side. There, the revelry could start as early as late afternoon within some bars and could carry on until ridiculous hours of the morning. In addition to that, Meribel had 150 kilometers of pistes, a few decent snow parks, and lots of non-ski activities. Earlier, literally 2 minutes after arriving at their chalet, Jackson and Anna had had a little something to eat and then wrapped up warm in the clothes they had bought on their emergency shopping trip the night before. If they hadn't been so excited about hitting the slopes, it would have been a struggle to leave their chalet. It was amazing. Contemporary, spacious, lavish. Jackson's favorite room was the living area, which featured two leather sofas, a coffee table that was actually a varnished sledge, an open fire, and a 42-inch flat, wall-mounted widescreen TV DVD with UK Freeview and cinema surround sound. Happy days. There was a very large, modern kitchen, all marble and chrome and immaculately clean. A dining area with an oak table and chairs to match the solid oak flooring that ran throughout most of the chalet. There were 6 bedrooms, all en suite. Yes, they were being greedy, booking something huge for just the two of them, but they were determined to get something spacious. And that was exactly what they got. Naturally, she and Anna picked the most luxurious bedrooms. Both had a gigantic, sumptuous bed, modern furnishings, a wall-mounted flat-screen TV, a separate area for dressing, a balcony, and a stylish, pristine white ensuite bathroom that had heated flooring. There was even a garage for their rented car. And then there was the icing on the cake, a jacuzzi hot tub and sauna inside and outside. The views from the south and west-facing terraces and balconies were absolutely breathtaking. As they had ventured out to rent some ski equipment and arranged a beginner's lesson, Jackson had soaked it all up. The ambiance, the ethos, the views, the comfort, and the idyllic blend of mountains and snow and the beautifully blue sky. Little by little, all the tension had left her body and had been replaced with excitement and anticipation. Although Anna had been skiing before, she didn't consider herself above intermediate level and hadn't wanted to leave Jackson, so she came along to the lesson. After going over the basics with them, the instructor decided they were ready to try the bunny hill. Although they had fallen a few times, the instructor thought they were brilliant because neither feared falling, so were quick learners.
If he smiles at you one more time, I'm going to whack him with my ski pole, said Anna, gesturing to the Ian Beale look-alike in front of them. He's severely creeping me out. She shuddered, and it wasn't from the cold temperature. Not that I'm at all complaining, but why did you slap his helmet?
He said he loved my voice and asked if I worked for a sex hotline. Anna gasped.
The cheeky git!
Want to see me ski backwards? He asked.
Nope, replied Jackson, as Anna said,
not even a little bit.
He didn't seem deterred, not even when their instructor, Todd, directed an impatient glare at him. Jackson might have snapped at him if she hadn't been distracted by the cute sight of a bunch of kids snowballing to death someone dressed up in a reindeer suit. She remembered the time she had been in a military-type snowfight with Leah, Roland, and... She let the thought stop right there. The Bunny Hill, Jackson soon discovered, was a small slope that had a chairlift to take them to the top. As they waited in the loading area, she saw that Anna was nervous.
What's up?
I don't like these things. There was a rope toe when I last used a bunny hill. The first time I went to a beginner's hill and used a chairlift, I couldn't pluck up the courage to push myself off. And then she had been embarrassed as shit when someone from Ski Patrol stopped the lift to help her down.
That's because you didn't have me to bitch-slap you into moving your ass.
Anna laughed. It might actually come to that. Even with Todd's encouragement, Anna found herself fidgeting apprehensively. Side by side, she and Jackson waited for a chairlift to come around and then, holding both poles in one hand, smoothly sat on it, allowing it to take them up. Like Jackson, she kept the tips of her skis pointing upwards as they ascended.
Bugger, 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 she chanted nervously. Anna, do you really want to go home and tell Warren you got stuck on a moving couch?
That was all the motivation Anna needed to straighten her shoulders. As she had told Jackson, it kind of intimidated her to know that Warren was an Olympic medal winner. She had never been into sports, and even though she was a celebrity the same as him, she wasn't doing a job that meant she represented her country or that people looked up to her. Mostly people just drooled over her. She didn't want Warren to think that that was all there was to her, that they couldn't enjoy the same things. As he had told her that he loved skiing and would love to take her himself sometime, she was determined to get some practice in so that she didn't make a fool of herself. Anna told Warren about the holiday, but swore him to secrecy. He was not allowed to tell Connor a single detail. He swore he wouldn't. In fact, it didn't take much convincing. He seemed to like the idea of Connor being subjected to a little torture. Those boys loved winding each other up. Only one thing concerned her. Warren was a very bad liar.
Remember, said Jackson as they neared the unloading station, point your skis forward and push away as the chair goes round.
After wincing at the sight of the creepy sod on the chair in front, making a daring jump off the chairlift and ending up colliding with another skier, the pair glided off the lift and to the side, clear of the upcoming chairlifts. Anna made a rejoicing sound. Funny how being set on impressing your boyfriend could make you face your fear. At last they came to the slope, and just in time to watch the creepy bloke do an elaborate toss-over and become closely acquainted with a tree. She flinched at the spectacle. Do you think that was an attempt at suicide? Jackson shrugged. If it was, it was ill thought out. Someone should have told him a run-up is always advised. On a lighter note, it's our turn.
Right. You go first.
Remembering all that the instructor had told her, Jackson ensured that her hands were through the straps on the poles which she held at her sides. She bent her knees and leaned forward slightly, careful not to lean too far forward or else her skis might get all squirrely. Then she assumed the pizza position, keeping her skis pointed together and her heels pushed out to make a wedge with an open point. She drank in the view, admiring the enormous mountains and hills and trees, and the way it looked as though a soft, white marshmallow blanket covered everything. After taking a moment to appreciate the weird, nerve-wracking yet exciting feeling of being poised on the edge, she slowly began sliding down the slope. To pick up a little speed, she narrowed her pizza position, loving the liberating feeling that came with the descent. Knowing that she could easily fall was unsettling, but at the same time made the whole thing even more exhilarating. All of a sudden, she felt invigorated. As Jackson reached the bottom of the slope, she widened the angle of her position, which finally brought her to a smooth halt. But she didn't express her delight with herself until Anna reached her side, also having executed a smooth slide down. They giggled like a pair of kids in a playground, overwhelmed by exhilaration and relief and a delicious adrenaline rush.
"Well done," praised the creep as he appeared out of nowhere. "You're both naturals at it. Look like goddesses the way you did that so gracefully."
And then he made the biggest mistake of his life. He attempted to touch Jackson. Having reached her limit with the randy bastard, Jackson leaned toward him slightly.
"D'you see this poem? If you don't stay out of my face, I'm going to rip you another asshole with it. Understand?"
He gulped and nodded awkwardly before skiing away. Anna sighed in relief.
"Thank the Lord for that."
After a few repeats at a smooth glide down the bunny hill, Jackson and Anna tried doing turns during their descent. When Todd eventually decided that they were ready to try a beginner's hill, they went for a little something to eat and drink to boost their energy levels before then hitting the other slopes. By the time they were ready to head back to their chalet, Jackson found that although she was physically exhausted, having used muscles that she hadn't known she had, her mind was energized. The whole experience was so strange, like being in some kind of suspended reality. With all the breathtaking views, the snowy mountains, the cold, crisp air, the wintry trees and the luxurious chalet, there was nothing to remind her of home. She found that she could literally forget everything, her stresses, her problems, even the rest of the world. With each day that passed, all those pressures eased more and more. Connor grunted and slapped down the set of cards. When did he get so bad at poker? Probably about the same time he started abusing the test track and overdoing it at the gym and walking around with a permanent hard-on. All of which brought on by the reappearance of... No, no, no. He wasn't going to think about Jax. But then he didn't really have to think about her for him to undergo any torture. It was 4 days since he had last seen her. It was 5 days since he had last been inside her. He had planned to give it at least 7 days before seeing her again, purely to prove to himself that he didn't need her so badly. But he wasn't sure he was going to last much longer. The fact that he was spooked by how he was absolutely addicted to her wasn't so important now that the raging need was taking over again. His dick was hard and hurting like a twat. Worse, he didn't feel whole. In short, his mind, body, and soul were pining for her. He knew it. He ignored it. Or at least he tried to. And the harder he tried, the rottener things got. Once he had calmed down after their argument, he had started to feel like a right bastard. In truth, he had been angrier with himself than with her. Maybe it could be said that he had created this situation. If he had gone back to see her at least once, he would have seen that she was alone and hurting over Leah, and he could have done... Well, he didn't know what exactly, but he could have done something. Then maybe she wouldn't be closed off from him the way she was now. Now he knew why she wanted things to be nothing more than casual. Despite how painfully horny he was, not once had Connor been tempted to relieve the ache using anyone else. Obviously, he would never have given in to any such temptation if there had been one. The point was that there had been no temptation. There was one thing he had come to understand in the past few days without her. It wasn't lust that had consumed his blood. It was Jax. That was why he couldn't escape from the need to see her, or be with her, or be inside her. In sum, she had bloody ruined him. He belonged to her as much as she belonged to him, and it terrified him. When she eventually walked out of his life, even the thought of that had his gut twisting, he wouldn't be whole ever again. And yet he knew he couldn't keep her. She would never settle for someone who couldn't fully commit to her, and even if she was prepared to try it, he would never let her. She deserved better than that. She deserved to start the family she had grown up without. For the first time, he wished he had more to offer someone. All he could really do was make the most of the time he had with her. With that in mind, he had to question why on earth he sat playing, well, losing at, poker and not spending time with Jax. Decision made, he went into the kitchen to phone her mobile. No answer. He tried her home line. No answer. He tried her mobile again. No answer. He tried her home line again. No answer. Half an hour went by, and nothing. No answer from either phone, no returning his calls, no answering the voicemail messages he'd left. Unfortunately, Ollie had gotten himself a new secretary, and she was not easy to charm like the last one, so that got him nowhere.
"Oi, Warren,"
he said, a thought forming.
"Where's Anna tonight?"
Because wherever she was, Jax was likely to be close. That had Warren licking his lips nervously. He'd been dreading that Connor might ask him about Anna in case he accidentally said too much.
She's in Europe.
Connor frowned.
Europe?
Had to be a modeling thing. He was sure he'd heard Jax say something about Anna going to Paris and Milan a lot. He checked his BlackBerry again. Still no messages.
Waiting on a phone call?
Dane tried to hold back his amusement. It was obvious that Connor had finally cracked and wanted to see Jackson again. Warren had told Dane all about the holiday and how Anna had sworn him to secrecy. But Warren forgot to do one thing. He forgot to make Dane swear to keep it secret from Connor. Dane had absolutely no intention of withholding the fact that Jackson was in a whole other country where males of all ages could flock around her, and there wasn't a thing Connor could do about it. He was going to go off his rocker. Boy, this was going to be so much fun. Connor said nothing to Dane's question and shoved his BlackBerry back into his pocket. A few minutes later, he fished it out again and went to the bedroom to try Jax's mobile again. Still nothing. Home line? Still nothing. Secretary? Still not charmed. He growled. Jax didn't play ignore the ringtone. She'd sooner answer it, tell him to sod off, and then hang up if she didn't want to speak to him. In which case, he had to assume that she hadn't seen his attempts to contact her. He should be able to shrug and think she'll phone when she can. But wondering when exactly he should expect a response was bugging the life out of him. Was this how she felt when he didn't give her any idea of when he'd next be in touch? On re-entering the living area, he caught the latter part of Dane's sentence.
"Doesn't bother you she's on holiday without you?" "Who's on holiday?"
When Dane and Warren exchanged an odd look, Connor frowned. Warren cleared his throat.
"Anna. Oh. So it's not some modeling job she's away doing?"
"No,"
said Dane.
"A last-minute booking, wasn't it, Warren?"
Yeah.
Dane folded his arms across his chest.
"I'm surprised you didn't go with her, even if three is a crowd."
"Another time I will,"
Warren sighed inwardly. He wasn't going to pull this flippant act off. Not while Dane, whatever his game was, seemed like he intended to let it slip to Connor that Jackson had gone with her.
"I wouldn't like it if it was me,"
said Dane gravely, shaking his head.
"It's just a holiday. She's not relocating." "Yeah, but still. Just the idea of Nikki that far away from me. I think I'd lose my head." "How far away are we talking?"
asked Connor.
"France."
Warren inwardly winced as he realized he'd revealed a detail of the holiday. Dane tisked.
"It's still a foreign country, which means it's too far away for my liking. Even worse, the French are supposed to be right smoothies, and women love those European accents, don't they?"
He sighed.
"Personally, I'd be a paranoid wreck." "I'd trust Anna."
That hadn't stopped Warren from worrying, though.
"Yeah, but do you trust the smoothies around her? That's a question. You told me Anna loves her drink.
One weak moment, one very smooth smoothie.
Dane jiggled his head.
At least she's not on her own, and there's someone to make sure she's got her wits about her.
Connor was starting to feel as though he was missing out on something important.
What about you, Con?
Asked Dane.
If it was Jax, would you be all right with it? Did I say you could call her Jax? She's my Jax. She's Jack's son, to you.
Then it occurred to Connor that Dane had spoken in a very odd tone. Suddenly, as snippets of the conversation flicked through his mind, it all came together. He took a deep breath, determined to maintain his composure. Then he slowly turned his head to look at Warren, who was looking awfully nervous.
Warren, who's Anna on holiday with? A mate,
he said flippantly.
Would that mate be Jax?
His tone was deceptively patient. Warren's twist of the lips and hesitation to speak told Connor what he needed to know.
When did they leave? Monday morning. Monday morning? What, and you never thought to tell me?
When he heard Dane chuckling quietly, he rounded on him.
You've known all this time as well, haven't you?
The chuckling stopped.
No need to have a panic attack, said Dane. They'll be back this Monday coming. Monday.
He couldn't wait that long to see her, nor did he want to. What he wanted to do was grab her, yell at her for sodding off like that, and then shag her senseless. Dane kept all amusement from his manner.
Now, see, you haven't really got a right to go all nuts, have you? Okay, so Jack's son, didn't tell you she was going on holiday. Should she have to tell someone who only shows up when he feels like shagging her?
Connor knew what Dane was getting at, and he knew he was right, but it still didn't take the sting away of her buggering off without a word.
Where in France?
He asked Warren.
Oh, I can't pronounce it.
Dane laughed. He had to admire Warren for his never-ending loyalty to Anna's promise.
Is it in the north, south, what?
Warren scratched his head.
Is it near Paris? I'm not really comfortable with these questions.
Connor pinned Dane with his serious gaze.
You know where, don't you? Come on, mate, don't get yourself all worked up. She's probably not into the French accents.
It was killing Dane not to laugh.
It's just the tourists you've got to worry about. You can't blame them if they try sniffing around her. I mean, come on, you would have. Even believing she was in some high-publicity relationship with an insane twat, you'd have still tried your luck. I bet you're glad you and her made that arrangement not to shag other people. Tell me, though, did you specify if kissing or touching or oral sex was allowed?
Connor growled. Dane faked a horrified gasp.
Tell me you definitely specified no anal sex.
As much as Connor knew that Dane was trying to get a rise out of him, he couldn't help but give it to him, the idea that she was so far out of reach.
How would you like it if it was Nikki, eh? If I knew where she was and wouldn't tell you?
Dane smiled.
Ah, but Nikki's my wife. What is Jackson to you again?
Completely exasperated by his two mates, Connor dug the heels of his hands into his eyes.
All right,
he bit out.
You've made your point, Dane. And what point is that?
It made him ache to say it.
I haven't got any rights over her, and I haven't got the right to know everything that goes on in her life. There, I said it. Now where is she? I'm not so sure I'm comfortable passing on this information. Dane, not until I at least know what you're going to do with it. Only the same thing that you'd do if it was Nikki. Now, hang on a minute,
Warren quickly interrupted.
You can't go over there and butt in on their holiday.
But he saw by the determined expression on Connor's face that that was exactly what he was planning to do.
I'll tell you what,
Dane said to Connor.
I'll tell you where she is if you admit why it is you want to see her so bad. This isn't some game,
he retorted.
If you can't admit it to me, how are you going to admit it to Jackson? She doesn't strike me as the type of person who'll be okay with you turning up like that just for a shag or to prove the immature point that you can always find her. If she thinks that's the kind of crap she'll have to put up with, she'll end it right there. So, get some practice in. Admit why you want to see her so bad.
As a last-ditch effort to find out her whereabouts without putting himself out there, Connor looked at his other mate. Warren shook his head.
I happen to agree with Dane.
Well? Dane raised his brows, waiting. Connor sighed.
Do you have to be such a twat? It's genetics, sorry. Do you want to know where she is or not?
He slumped onto the couch and covered his face with his hand, sighing again. When Connor finally plucked up the nerve, he released his face.
I miss her, all right? And not just shagging her?
Dane wanted Connor to hear himself say it aloud.
No. Although I do miss that. I miss her. Happy now? Maribel France. She's gone skiing. I'm not sure where exactly they're staying, but Warren knows.
Warren groaned. Why, oh why, did he mention the holiday to Dane?
Anna's going to have my balls for this.
Dane smiled.
Well, it seems to me, then, that you should go with him. You're both going to have a lot of explaining to do. Might be best to have each other to lean on for strength.
Warren shook his head at Dane.
You're loving all this, aren't you? I told the pair of you that I would get you back for the shite you pulled at my bachelor bash and my wedding night. Oh, and let's not leave out the stuff you put in the best man speech, just in case Nikki didn't already know I'd been a bit of a slut in the past. Excuse me for finding some sweetness in revenge.
He smiled, unashamed.
Go on, then. Get your asses on a plane and go see your girls.
At the risk of entering the world of stalking, Connor immediately booked a flight to take him to Jax. Chapter 12. Crap, crap, crap. The words circulated around Anna's brain as she read the two text messages that Warren had left for her. The first was sent 5 hours ago with news of his and Connor's pending arrival and the time of their flight. The next was to announce that they had arrived at France safely, like she cared about that part, and would be there in something like 45 minutes. He had sent the last one 35 minutes ago. If only she had checked her phone when she first got back instead of now, just before they were going out again. Crap, crap, crap. To think she'd been worried about impressing Warren. It turned out that he was going to be the one having to do the impressing, because unless he had some way of getting back in her good books, she was going to do a Jackson on him. She was going to kick him in the balls. Not 5 minutes ago, Anna had been thinking about just how great Jackson was doing with some space away from Connor. The past few days had been such a laugh. Hitting the slopes, going dog sledging, almost getting a concussion while ice skating, drinking until all hours of the morning. Well, that was mostly just Anna. Gulping down all that gorgeous French wine and cuisine. Abusing the hot tub and sauna. Trying to talk French and failing miserably. Not once had they mentioned Connor or anything else stress-related since they arrived. And now, thanks to the big gob and her boyfriend, the perfect holiday was going to be tainted. "Have a guess who's left over a dozen messages on my phone," said Jackson as she entered Anna's room. Anna's eyes widened. "Saying what?" "Just they wanted to meet up, completely unaware that I'm not even in the country." The thought of that made Jackson smile. Anna winced. Crap, crap, crap. I'll phone him after we've been to the restaurant. Come on, or we'll be late for our table. She considered telling Jackson about their soon-to-arrive visitors, but if she did that, then the person getting yelled at would be her rather than the two asses who were truly at fault. All Anna had done was trust her boyfriend with a secret. Grudgingly, Anna sent a message to Warren, strongly advising him and Connor to unload their stuff while she and Jackson were out. She contemplated telling them to wait at the chalet, but then she decided it would be better for Jackson to first see Connor while they were in public. Anna figured that Jackson might very well go apeshit, so if things were going to be smashed, she would rather it wasn't anything from their chalet. And who knows, maybe the fact that they were in a public place would make Jackson contain herself? Of course it wouldn't. 20 minutes later, they were at the front of the queue within the restaurant, which was one big posh bugger in Jackson's opinion. The walls and ceiling were covered with oak wooden slats that matched the oak-brown floor tiles. It might have made Jackson feel like she was in a box if the ceiling hadn't been so high. The fantastic part was that one side of the two-floored restaurant was all glass. Anna tried not to fidget and squirm, but how the hell was she supposed to remain calm? Those two idiots would have unpacked their stuff at the chalet by now and would be here any minute. There could be bloodshed. She saw that while Jackson was busy admiring the interior, the maitre d' was gaping at her in a way that suggested he knew who she was. A few moments later, they were seated at one of the best tables near the glass wall. Considering that their booking had been last minute, it was obvious that this table hadn't been reserved for them. It was a circular table, she noticed. Good, because soon they would need to cram two other people on it.
I love it when this happens, said Anna, referring to the special treatment.
Even better, they were presented with a complimentary bottle of red wine when handed their menus. Immediately, she poured herself a glass. She needed the calming effects of alcohol. Jackson looked at Anna curiously.
Are you all right?
The girl was chugging down that wine like it was the drink of eternal life. Come to think of it, she had been restless since before they left and had been nibbling on her lip like she did when she was dreading something.
Of course, why wouldn't I be?
Anna, what's going on?
Just remember that I love the bones of you, I really do.
She poured herself some more wine.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, keep her calm, I'm begging you.
Anna, makes sense.
And don't forget that violence doesn't solve anything. Well, it doesn't solve everything.
Why would I be inspired to become violent?
And that was when she felt it, tingling down her spine as the hairs on the back of her neck stood on end. Ever so slowly, she turned her head. She vaguely registered that Warren was chatting to the maitre d'. Most of her attention was taken up by the figure beside him that, as always, had the most overwhelming presence and was staring right at her. An oppressive, sensual hunger struck her, and the desire instantly began to course through her body, heating her blood and twisting her insides. Even while she was mad as hell at him, she wanted him. What cheesed her off more was that a part of her was glad to see him. The instant Connor spotted her, he felt like he could breathe again. The knot in his stomach untangled, and the ache that had been throbbing in his chest for days stopped abruptly. But the throbbing in his pants didn't ease one bit. In fact, it worsened as need assailed him violently. She was his addiction, and going cold turkey had left him a mess. Seeing her eyes alive with fury only served to make his cock harder. Anna observed as Jackson and Connor's gazes met, and instead of the verbal and physical explosion she was expecting, there was that same electrical exchange of pure, primal need between them that she saw at the charity event. Just like then, the people around them were caught up in the moment, in the excess sparks of desire that surrounded the couple. It was there and then that Anna came to a conclusion about Jackson and Connor. As much as their craving for each other was primitive and raw, their connection couldn't be on just a physical level. A link that intense couldn't only survive on sexual hunger. It would need the involvement of the mind and the soul just as much as the body. Jackson continued to hold his eyes as he stalked toward their table at a casual, non-threatening pace. He stopped before her and slowly bent down, pressing the softest, lingering kiss to her lips. She wondered why she hadn't slapped him yet. She wanted to. Really wanted to. But instead, all she seemed to be doing, despite her anger, was devouring the sight of him. Their gazes remained locked the entire time that two more chairs were added and Anna and Warren took positions on either side of her, almost as if protecting her and Connor from each other. That left him opposite her, which made it easier to snarl at him. Anna, scowling wildly at Warren, spoke first.
We were just about to order starters before you interrupted our meal and also our holiday.
Warren gave her a pleading expression.
Look, how about we enjoy the meal and then we'll talk about it when we get back to the chalet?
Translation, let's not argue in public?
Back to the chalet? Jackson held back a growl. So not only had they interrupted the holiday, they were planning on staying. And in their chalet. For them to have gotten inside it, Anna had to have left the key for them somewhere outside. Jackson would deal with her later, when she was sure she could speak without the sound being animalistic.
Garlic bread, drawled Warren. Haven't had that in a while. What about you?
The soup, Anna said through her teeth. As much as she was glad to see Warren, she wanted to throttle him right now. So far, there had been no outburst from Jackson. When she was silent, it wasn't a good sign. Warren turned to the lump of stone on his right.
Connor, what do you want for starters? For starters,
he hardened his gaze on Jax.
You can tell me why you left for France without even a goodbye.
Hoping to distract Jackson from giving Connor a very heated response, Warren quickly turned to her.
And you, Jackson? What are you having?
Only one thing had stopped her from lashing out at Connor after his remark. She knew that was what he wanted. A reaction would show she was ruffled, unsettled. She wouldn't give him the satisfaction of seeing her lose it. She was resolute on keeping her rage controlled. But that didn't mean she was going to sit and have a civil evening with him. She consulted the menu.
I'll have the get over the fact that my business isn't yours, you prick.
I had to find out days later from Dane, said Connor. My two best mates knew exactly where you were, but I was purposely kept out of the loop.
She could almost believe he was genuinely hurt by that.
You couldn't even manage a text message to let me know you were going away for a week. All you would have had to do was press a couple of buttons. Wouldn't have even taken you 2 minutes.
You're going on at me about the simplicity of text messaging when you've just flown all the way to France to argue with me?
Oh, I don't just want to argue with you.
The implication was in his voice, in his eyes.
You always follow your bed buddies abroad.
Warren nearly choked on his wine, but no one at the table seemed to give a shit.
You're not my bed buddy, said Connor quickly.
Oh? She arched a brow. Then what am I?
You're mine, he found himself wanting to say. He leaned forward. His tone was grave, cautioning.
Don't ever make out that I think that little of you, Jax.
The appearance of the waiter was welcome, giving her a reprieve from her stare-out with Connor. They all ordered their starters and main meals. Other than those coming from Warren, each order came out robotic. It was then that Jackson noted that Anna's mood was no better than her own. Maybe she hadn't played a part in their coming here. The poor waiter nearly jumped out of his skin when Connor growled.
What was that for?
She snapped when the waiter scarpered.
I didn't like the way he was looking at you.
Anna snickered.
That was nothing compared to the stares she's been getting over the past few days.
Yes, she wanted to cheese Connor off just like he had cheesed off her best mate.
If you thought you being here would discourage that, I'm thinking you'll be proven wrong. Why do you think we got such a fab table? And then there's the complimentary bottle of wine. We've had loads of freebies since we got here because of how admired she is. Oh, there was this one bloke who stuck a piece of paper with his phone number onto her ski pole, and another who sang a song to her on the karaoke.
She left out the fact that Jackson flipped him off. Noticing that Connor was getting even more frustrated, Warren gestured for Anna to leave it there. But with a wide smile on her face, she continued.
It was hilarious when that tall, blonde Viking-like bloke asked her to write her autograph on his pecs. It wasn't so hilarious when that little old man asked her to do it. She's had quite a few people come up and ask to have a photo with her. I don't know how they even recognized her with all her ski clothes on. I think a lot more would have approached her if she wasn't known for telling people to sod off.
There was a little silence then. Connor striving to remain in control, Anna trying to think of how else she could wind up Connor, Warren wishing he could get his beautiful girlfriend to be quiet, and Jackson condemning herself for the fact that she couldn't stop thinking about that kiss that Connor had given her a few minutes ago. He'd never kissed her like that before. It was actually affectionate. And that 14-year-old girl in her wouldn't let that fact drop. The starters came then. The silence continued as they ate. Jackson and Connor stared at one another while Anna glowered at Warren and he looked at her apologetically. The way Jax seemed so calm and collected was nibbling at Connor, mocking him. Here he was digging deep for the strength to not drag her out of the place, make her promise never to jet off like that again, and then fuck her until she couldn't take any more. She, on the other hand, was calmly sipping her soup, and her posture was totally relaxed. He wanted her as prickly as he was.
"The chalet's great, isn't it? I can't wait to try out my bed."
Connor held Jax's gaze.
"I picked the room that overlooks the outdoor hot tub."
Her room. Jackson didn't give him the rise he wanted. "It's quite comfy, that bed. I always end up falling asleep on the couch, so you're welcome to it."
"Not joining me?"
"You came all this way for a shag? Oh, Connor, you should have just sent me a simple message saying you wanted to break off our agreement. Then you could have fucked whoever you wanted right on your doorstep."
He leaned forward.
"If you keep talking about fucking, I'm going to lose my composure and throw you over my shoulder again. You remember what happened last time I did that?"
Just the memory of that night, just thinking about him being inside her again, had her clit throbbing.
"Yeah, I remember. It was all right."
"You're doing a lot of pushing, Jax."
I'm sorry. Were you expecting a show of open arms?"
"I don't need your arms open, babe. Just your legs."
His cocky smirk had her gritting her teeth. "I won't give him a reaction. I won't give him a reaction. I won't give him a reaction." But then, as if her hand had a mind of its own, it flicked the spoon in his direction. The dollop of soup splattered over his face and black shirt. The giggle literally popped out of her. Anna was chuckling too. Warren seemed an equal blend of horrified and amused. Connor, however, well, he looked like he wanted to rip her liver out and eat it. Grinding his teeth, Connor wiped away the soup and dumped the serviette back on the table. He had told himself that he wouldn't retaliate, but she was still giggling and it was grating on his nerves. He took another bite of his garlic bread and then slung it at her face. He managed to keep his laugh silent, but he couldn't keep his body from shaking. Both Anna and Warren seemed to be bracing themselves for Jax's wrath. Jackson was totally dignified in her movements as she removed the buttery grease and breadcrumbs from her face and hair. Then, moving too abruptly for him to have prepared himself, Jackson snatched her dessert spoon and launched it at Connor. It hit his forehead with a thunk, which only made her chuckle again. Then he sloshed his glass of white wine all over her favorite cashmere sweater, hence Anna's horrified gasp, and he had more or less signed his death warrant. Jackson booted him in the shin and simultaneously flicked vinegar and salt at him. Preempting what she was going to do next, Connor seized the opened bottle of wine and placed it on the neighboring table. That just pissed her off even more. She reached onto the table behind theirs and grabbed a bottle of, red wine. Connor warned her with a look, but she just smiled as she splashed the contents all over him. Then she slammed the bottle down onto the table and glared at him.
"You drowned me in red wine," he said disbelievingly.
"That's right, prick."
"And I reek of vinegar."
"You ruined my favorite top."
She turned to Anna then. "Toilets?" Although Anna was terribly conscious of the deathly silence and the amount of eyes on them, she didn't feel the need to shrink in her seat as she normally would have. No, it was the boy's fault, and besides that, she was drunk, so for now it didn't matter. As if what was happening was perfectly normal, she casually gestured to the ladies' restrooms as she sipped more wine from her glass. Jackson, of course, stomped off. as she stood examining the stains on her sweater, debating whether it could be saved or not, a string of profanities flew from Jackson's mouth. God, she wanted to kill that bloke. It wasn't enough for him to turn up out of the blue and interrupt her holiday. Oh no, he had to go and ruin her favorite top as well. Sure, it was only a sweater, but it was the first item of clothing she bought with her first wage from Ollie. It had sentimental value. She didn't have many things that could be considered sentimental to her. She had always made a point not to have any such things, having grown up in a place where things generally weren't yours for long. Just when she tried snapping out of the mindset of not relaxing or treasuring anything, ugh. If he had any sense of self-preservation, the miserable little asshole would be scarpering out of here. At that very second, the door slammed open, asshole barged in and locked it behind him. So he didn't have any sense of self-preservation. Connor had entered the restrooms with every intention of giving her an intense verbal rollicking, but then he found her in only her bra and pants, and his intentions quickly changed. He slowly advanced on her. She shook her head wildly, gasping at the barefaced cheek of him.
Do not think you're having your way with me, Mackenzie.
Her eyes helplessly dropped to his muscled chest as he removed his soup, vinegar, wine-soaked shirt. She forced them back to his face. In his gaze was lust, heat, desperation, and something else, something she didn't recognize.
Look, you've had your fun. You've ruined my holiday, you've ruined my evening, you've ruined my favorite sweater. Just go and don't ever come near me again.
He halted.
You think I came here to mess up your holiday? You think I would do that? That I would ever want to do that?
Yeah, to punish me for daring to go somewhere without asking you first.
This isn't me punishing you or playing some game.
Dane had been right. He was going to need to tell her the truth if he had any hope of stopping her from finishing this.
You expect me to believe that you got on a plane and came all the way here just because you felt like a shag?
I came here because I missed you.
That shocked her to silence. She might have laughed if he didn't look so serious. He must have meant he missed being inside her. It had simply come out wrong.
And you couldn't wait until Monday?
No, I couldn't. As much as you'd drive me bloody mental and make me want to spank your ass, I missed you.
There it was again.
Your dick missed me, you mean?
My dick as well, yeah.
He began advancing on her again. Completely knocked by the things he was saying, she found herself suddenly mentally off balance and was backing away rather than standing her ground. She hadn't even taken 4 steps before her back met a wall. She should have been fighting him, condemning him, cursing him. But those 3 words had totally thrown her, especially when the desperation in his eyes gave emphasis to that claim, desperation that she could also feel sizzling in the air. He had never looked at her like that before. And so, instead of denying him, her body reacted by sending tingling sensations to her clit and releasing a rush of moisture from her core. Connor snatched the sweater from her grip and flung it aside. Then he crammed her against the wall, his forearms resting either side of her.
And you missed me,
he whispered against her neck, enjoying the feeling of her skin against his. She snorted, hoping her voice wouldn't come out shaky with her desire.
Do you think I'd consider a food fight to be a mating ritual?
His voice was low.
If I put my finger inside you right now, it would come out wet, wouldn't it?
She swallowed hard, and he smiled inwardly as he spoke into her ear.
I need you just as much, Jax.
To prove it, he ground his rock-hard erection against her.
I'm obsessed with you, addicted to you. You're a blow to my self-control. Do you know that?
Now Jackson was even more thrown. His iron control was what gave him his strength against everything he had been through and had protected him from more hurt. What he was basically saying was that she had a power over him that made him vulnerable. She made him vulnerable, and yet he'd come to her. He brushed his lips against hers.
I know you're pissed with me, Jax, but you don't really want me to go. What you want is for me to drive as deep inside you as I can, and fuck you.
He tugged on her bottom lip with his teeth.
Don't you? Here. Now. Right up against this wall.
Ever since she had told him she loved a good shag against a wall, he hadn't been able to get the image out of his head. As he felt a shiver ripple through her, he raked his fingers through her hair and devoured her mouth with his. Jackson felt another shiver run through her. His kiss was coated with all his pent-up arousal, but it was also a drugging kiss, something that wrenched at her soul. And she didn't have a hope in hell of fighting him, not after his admission. But then why fight it when she needed this too? Giving herself over to the sensations, she locked her arms around his neck and pulled him closer as she opened up fully to his kiss. Relief surged through Connor. She wasn't pushing him away. She was being as gorgeously responsive as always. Then lust fogged his mind, and all he wanted to do was lose himself in her. But not before getting reacquainted with this delectable body that was his. He roughly cupped a breast as she groaned into his mouth. He loved that she liked things intense, just as he did. His mouth then landed on her nipple, and he sucked and bit it through the black lace, making her back arch so that she was curving her body into his. Wanting to give her some of the relief her body was begging for, he quickly and nimbly dealt with the buttons and zipper of her pants, and then slid his hand inside her thong, cupping her. Jackson groaned again. How did he always manage to do this to her? One touch and she was primed for him. Sometimes he didn't even need to touch her. The sensations that he ignited were as agonizing as they were pleasurable, as unbearable as they were addictive. Only he could ever do this to her. She knew that just as surely as she knew that she had missed him. He burrowed a finger inside her.
"So wet,"
Connor murmured against the lace of her bra as he added another finger. He lifted his head to watch the pleasure flit across her face as he fucked her with his fingers. Then she was practically riding his hand, frantically seeking relief. As much as he loved the sight of her like this, it wasn't enough. He needed to taste her. Abruptly, he sank to his knees and yanked down her pants and thong. She stepped out of them and her shoes. Then he lifted one shapely leg and hung it over his shoulder. He swiped his tongue between her folds and groaned. Her taste was like... fuck. There wasn't a word to describe it. It had all his senses exploding. He'd missed it. "Oh, God," she rasped as he tortured her with sensual licks.
"Not good, Connor," he said,
now flicking her clit with his tongue and then swirling around it as he dug into his back pocket for a condom.
"Say it."
Why was it that he always seemed to want her to say his name?
"Say it."
She might not have if she hadn't heard the tearing of a wrapper and then the lowering of a zipper. Thank God. She needed him inside her quickly. "Connor." Then he was stood before her with that leg that was hung over his shoulder now resting in the crook of his arm. Holding her eyes, he plunged into her. A noise that was something between a moan and a sob tore out of her. For once, he wasn't treating her like she was fragile, and she delighted in the burning sensation of him stretching her.
"Deeper." "Oh, I'll fuck you deeper,"
he assured her in a harsh voice as he palmed her ass and lifted her, rearranging her position so she could lock both of those luscious legs around his waist.
"But first..."
He brought a hand down hard on that perfect ass. Jackson jerked in shock. Did he just spank her?
"Yeah, I did. That was for just drenching me in wine and vinegar and soup."
He did it again, wrenching a gasp from her.
"That was for jetting off without a word and not even answering my calls."
This next spank was harder, causing her to gasp loudly. Moisture flooded his dick, so it turned out that she liked being spanked.
"And that was for even thinking that I never cared about you."
Just as she was about to curse the bastard, he plunged into her again, going even deeper this time. The pain was as sweet as always, making her groan and shudder. She felt his tongue lick over her pulse, and then he was sucking on the patch of skin there. She had missed his hot tongue tasting her like this, had even missed his bites. Almost as if he read her thoughts, he bit down hard on her neck.
"Ready to take all of me?"
When she nodded, he gripped her hips and withdrew. Then he slammed into her,